Good morning, hello family, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Amy G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Monday, December 16th, 2024. Today we are reading in the Big Book. We are on page 65 in the chapter How It Works, the first paragraph, starting with on our grudge list, going through that one paragraph ending in which had been interfered with, unpacking that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you so much to Team Monday, Tamara C., Elizabeth D., Chanel T., Susan G., our newcomer greeter, Suzanne W., and our host for the second awesome unrecorded hour, Anne A. The reference numbers for yesterday, our special edition on Sunday, December 15th, 21,996. That's 21996. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Chanel P. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Chanel.
Thank you. Chanel T. in Washington State. Recovered compulsive eater. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Needed to clear my throat. I apologize. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you so much, Chanel P., for filling in. Greatly appreciate you. I will now ask for Susan G. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Susan.
Oh, thank you, Amy. It's Susan G., compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are: one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon us. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me give service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan G. Okie dokie, this is how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter How It Works on page 65, the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask Tamara C. to go ahead and get us started. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you, Amy. Good morning, everyone. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater living in Missouri. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations, which had been interfered with? Well, grudge list. What does that have to do with compulsive eating? How does my grudge list keep me out of the food? So when I first came to OA, man, I thought it was all about getting control over my eating. And so I wanted to work the perfect program. So I bought every piece of literature that I found at the meetings. And there, that included the Big Book. And so I read the Big Book and I read this and I thought, what are those alcoholics talking about? Grudge list, that is not going to be helpful to me to dwell on the injuries that people have done to me. That's just going to keep me in negativity. I can't do anything about it. Well, I was doing it anyway. I was dwelling on all of this. I would like find myself in the shower thinking about some injury someone had done to me 10 years ago. And in my imagination, I would go back in time and say this to them and so that they and everyone else could see that they were wrong and I was right. And that was not a good use of my mental energy. And I didn't catch that, you know, as I read on, I read the next few pages, but I didn't catch that I follow the rest of the directions with this, and that allows me to get honest so I can get to my higher power and get well. Well, one thing that someone in OA suggested when I did my fourth step was like, we write out our resentments and we just write everything we resent about that person so that we see like there's an end to it and we can forgive them. So I tried that. I wrote pages and pages and I thought, oh, there's the end of it. Well, I didn't get any relief. That didn't help. So here I looked at, it says we look at what was it that had been interfered with? So what is affected by the whatever people did? And I couldn't understand this for a long time. What does it mean, like basic instincts gone awry? But then it clicked for me one day when I was listening to a special edition and the speaker said, you know, I was doing the best I could. My character defects came into play trying to protect me. And that just made sense to me. Like, oh, protect me from what? What part of me feels threatened? That's why for me, there's always fear involved in every resentment, because there's like these flawed idea, like, people have to follow my script for me to be okay. They're not following my script, so I feel threatened. Then fear is driving my resentment. I have to be angry about it because I'm not okay. So I learned how to do this, and today I practice it. I see what's affecting me, what feels threatened, and I keep going. I follow the rest of the directions, and then this frees me from the need to compulsively eat. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tamara C., for getting us started. Awesome. So now we are going to take a list of folks who would also like to share on what was read. Friendly reminder that if you have shared in the last couple of days, namely Thursday or Friday on any of the Vision for You meetings, we ask that you step aside so that others may also share their experience, strength, and hope. So who would like to share?
Leah S.
Johanna
M.
Leah Aaron S. K. Michigan.
Johan N. Aaron K. That's all I got so far. Who did I miss?
Tanya D.
Tanya.
Susan C.
Susan C.
Hey, this is Ricky in Florida.
Rick or Ricky, did you say? Rick in Florida?
Ricky in Florida.
Ricky in Florida. Anyone else? Okay. I have Leah F., Johan N., Aaron K., Tanya D., Susan C., Ricky, I didn't get your last initial. All right, let's go. Leah.
Ricky, H
and
Henry.
Oh, H. Okay, got it. Thank you. All right, Leah, please go ahead. Leah S.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. My name is Leah S. from Brooklyn, New York. I am so gratefully recovered, and I am a compulsive overeater. So, the big book is telling me that probably my self-esteem, probably my fear, probably my goals, probably my personal relationship with people or sexual relationships, these are things that I eat over. And we're coming up against holidays now. And who in their right mind would want to start a diet before the holidays? And this big book is telling me, you can start a minute before the holidays. You can start 2 years before the holidays. You can start any time. I just took it one step at a time. This is what I'm supposed to do, and this is what I did. Did this affect my self-esteem? Did this affect my security? Did I feel fearful? Did I feel jealousy? Did I feel whatever I did? I just wrote the way I was supposed to do it. And we don't have to find our answers right away. I thought that the fourth step is all about the answers, but it is not. It is actually just following directions. And don't forget, it was while I'm abstinent, so I'm feeling all my feelings now, and I can write them exactly as they are. And this is marvelous. This step-by-step thing. Just don't be afraid to do it, because it'll lead you to more than you can imagine, more freedom of a lot of things, and it'll only make you feel better, that's for sure. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Leah S. from Brooklyn, New York. Johan, you're up. Please go ahead, followed by Aaron K.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for service this morning. My name is Johan, and I'm calling in. I'm a recovered compulsive worried, and I'm calling in from Sweden. Yeah, great lead share and great paragraph. I love this program, and I love Big Book. When I sponsor, and the way I've been sponsored, is using only Big Book to recover. Big Book is so simple, so pragmatic. And also with this paragraph, when I came to the third column and was going to write this up, I used these words that are in this paragraph, and there's another word, pride, in the example as well, and those words only, just to keep it simple. And my experience is that the closer family that I was writing up, the more of these words I had in my third column. And step four was really starting to grasp, you know, some honesty and some truth about myself. And I could really start to feel something happening, not maybe just in this paragraph, but moving forward into the fourth, fourth column. Things really started to happen, but it's just, you know, working the steps, having a sponsor, working the steps and getting a spiritual awakening. That's what it's all about. And then keep working the steps and keep doing inventory, because I need to do inventory. I need to look at myself in every situation that I am in order to, you know, turn to God and have God take it away from me. Yeah, I love this program. It's a fantastic program. And if I just do this every day, step 10, 11, and 12, when I'm going through the steps, you know, I get to live a happy life. I don't think about food anymore. Food is just, you know, it's for my body. And I'm so grateful. So thank you so much for having me today. And thank you so much for this paragraph, for this book, and for this solution. And there is a solution in this book, and for me, you know, I started to feel something really happening in step four. So yeah, great step. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Johan M. from Sweden. Okay, Aaron K., you're up, followed by Tanya D. Please go ahead, Aaron.
Good morning, everybody. Aaron K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. Little bitty paragraph, but there's a lot in it, and the word interfere jumped right out, and because it means hindering, obstructing, or impeding. And I instantly thought of the word threat when I saw it. So what is being threatened? It's my ego and my self-centered ambitions. It's, you know, these people, places, and things in my mind are threatening my momentum toward my outcomes, the things that I think I need to be okay, or the things I think I need to avoid so that I stay safe and quote unquote happy and comfortable. And the minute that I forget that I put my safety, happiness, and comfort in God's hands, a resentment, you know, can pop up. And the irony is that what's really interfering with true serenity, safety, and comfort is my resentment. It's my broken and distorted thinking about life and the people in it that's really blocking me from serenity. It's not them. It's my thinking about them. And this process helps me get those jumbled, sort of nebulous thoughts out from behind my eyes, where they're in my head rolling around, out onto the page in front of my eyes, so that I can see clearly where my thinking is broken. And then I kind of, you know, I come to the, I come to the end of myself. I come to the end of my own ability to fix this broken thinking because I really can't do it. I can engage in this process to see it more clearly, but it has to be turned over to my higher power to take it and kind of show me the truth in a way. And so, yeah, it's a very powerful process, and I could stand to use it more. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Erin Kate from Michigan. Tanya D., you're up, followed by Susan C. Please go ahead, Tanya.
Hi, this is Tanya D., recovered compulsive overeater in Illinois. Yeah, this is a very short paragraph, but very useful. You know, it's very useful for me to check all those things, self-esteem, security, ambition, personal relations. Kind of shows me what am I looking for other people to fulfill in me. You know, I want them to give me my self-esteem. I want them to provide me with security. I want them to fulfill my ambitions. And ultimately, people are fallible and they're also, you know, not in charge of providing me with all those things. And so then, you know, once I've realized that I was looking for all those things in people, I need to turn to my higher power. And because I think ultimately only my higher power can provide me with all those things and not necessarily having my ambitions satisfied, right? But helping me let go of my ambitions. And so this list, the ones that were pretty easy for me was self-esteem and then emotional security when, you know, somebody said something to me or did something to me. The ones that were harder were, you know, I had some resentments at people who did something to other people, you know, and or world events, injustices in the world. And, you know, it took me a long time to figure out that those also, the ones where it was people near me doing something to other people, that also affected my emotional security because ultimately I am self-centered and it's all about me. And the world injustices were all about my ambition, about how I wanted things to look in the world. And, you know, they were not living up to my expectations. And what helped me let go of that or realize I need to let go of that is to realize I'm not equally resentful about all world injustices, right? Like I'm not, there are some that I'm like, this should not be happening. And then I think about all the other ones that are just as bad that just don't affect my ambition, right? And that's when I realized like I'm not this nice justice warrior. Like I am very self-centered and it has to do with my vision and what I care about. And same with people near me, you know, doing things that I consider bad. Like the reason that's a problem is because I'm not like, it's not an equal opportunity thing. And so realizing that helped me be willing to let go of those things. Cause for a while it's like, well, what's wrong with, you know, these justified resentments. And then at some point, through doing the four-step inventory, it came to me that like they're just as self-centered as when people are, you know, doing things to me, and that if I want to live happily and be effective, I need to find a way to let go of them or have my higher power remove them because I'm really powerless over these resentments. And I'm really, really grateful for this process. You know, I think it's it has made me more effective in the world. Thanks. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Tanya D. from Illinois. Susan C., you're up, followed by Ricky H. And just a friendly reminder, hold on one sec, Susan. Just a friendly reminder that we are on page 65. We are on the first paragraph, just in case you came in a little late. All right, Susan, you're up. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Susan C. from Pennsylvania. And this reading was perfect. I've been in the house much more than I've been able to go out because I sustained like a temporary injury in my leg. So it's given me more time to like quiet, to be quiet. And Also, I've been focusing more on my relations first with my family rather than, you know, my business. And so I realized that it was very, like, poisonous, toxic to have these, you know, the fear, the anger, and the resentment. And because I was quieting down and more like in a meditative place, that I was able to realize that it's my responsibility. And, you know, the word you always hear, triggered, well, that's exactly what that does. It triggers my emotions, my feelings. And so I just really gained a lot of peace through doing that, because that, you know, that was my strong determination about having, you know, right relations with my closest, my children, grandchildren, and my family. And now, you know, I'm working on that towards other people, you know, friends and clients and that kind of thing. So I'm just grateful for the meetings. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan G. from Pennsylvania. Ricky H., Thanks. You're up, and then we're going to take some more names.
Hey, good morning, friend. This is Ricky. I just want to ask, I'm new to this meeting. Do I need to have some time before I share?
No, siree, as long as you share on topic, on what we just read.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. I am new.
Welcome.
I guess I didn't realize. I'm very much aware, not in denial now, that between the multiple shares and the reading is to come to understand in my work environment in particular how much or how frequently I'm allowing people to have an effect on me. And I guess I was just some abstract theory and I wasn't seeing directly or admitting to myself that these fellow employees were having a negative effect. And I am feeling hurt or threatened a lot of times, particularly just feeling controlled, and that's a trigger for me. And also, I identified with the lead lady who shared and how she was thinking about the problem. And then there was somebody that mentioned that it's not other people are my problem, it's how I'm thinking about other people that seems to be the problem. And I was not seeing that as far as my side of the relationship, you know. So thank you for being here. And I have a lot more clarity this morning. And I really appreciate everybody's hard work and sharing their experience, because it's certainly illuminating and helpful for me. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ricky, from Ricky H. from Florida. We're glad to have you here.
Christy,
okay.
In Tennessee.
Okay, so hold on one sec. We're going to take some more names. But just a friendly reminder, if you shared either on Thursday or Friday on any of the Vision for You meetings, we ask that you kindly step aside and let others share. So who else would like to share? We're on page 65, first paragraph.
Chris G. in Tennessee.
Chris G.
Michelle M.
Michelle. Anyone else? I have
Kristen P. from Georgia.
Kristen P., was it?
Yes.
Okay, great. Going once, going twice. Anyone else? Okay. All right, Chris G., Michelle M., Christine P. Okay, Chris, you're up. Please go ahead.
All righty. I'm glad everyone is here today, and thank you. What I got from this short little paragraph is, well, it starts out with on our grudge list, and so I had to go back to the paragraph before, and it says we write them on paper. In dealing with the resentments, we set them on paper. And so I get a lot from listening to other people's shares, and one of the shares, she said, I want. All of her sentences started out with I want. And so resentments are easier to write down than the other things. So I start out with the resentments, and then I go to the self-esteem, insecurity, and ambitions, and personal relations. I go to those. I can't start there. I can start with the resentments and what I want that I'm not getting. And then I wanted to share about this book. This particular book I gave away, and it came back to me, and it's clean. It doesn't have anything written in the margins. So it's paper, and I can, as we go through it, I can write in the margins, like I can write down, I want, and I can write down, I can underline on paper, you know, I can underline to start with the resentment. So it does tell me specific instructions on what to do, and I get the specific instructions more clearly when I listen to other people share. And so my name's Chris G. I live in Tennessee, in East Tennessee, so it's a East time zone phone number, and I start my Chris with a K-R-I-S-G. So there you go, and thank you for everyone for being here.
Thank you, Chris G. from East Tennessee, Chris with a K. All right, Michelle M., you're up, followed by Christine P. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Good morning. Michelle, this is Michelle M. from Oklahoma. Okay. Really grateful to be here. And one thing that really just was like a brick to my forehead this morning was about resentment, and you know, I was a victim, and all of these, everything that ever happened was done to me. And what I did was, you know, like a lot of people have shared, I made, you know, approval was my drug of choice, and along with food. But I needed the external. Everything was external. And I grew up in a family where external okayness and acceptance, that's what was needed in order to be okay. And what leapt out at me this morning was about how when I put my power in another person to make me feel better or to give me what I need, I have an expectation. And it's going to look like this, and you're going to do this. And what happens is that expectation, you know, is a setup for resentment. And so this morning, I'm really recognizing in very clear terms how my expectations of people giving me what I thought I needed in order to be okay set up this hamster wheel, you know, and of expectations and resentments, not getting what I thought I needed, trying harder, faster, all of my decisions driven by fear, and how that just kept me such a prisoner. And I didn't really get that in such clear terms until we were reading this today. And I do kind of want to claim my feet. I had a year last Friday after a 12-year relapse in bulimia. And the miracle of that it just blows my mind on every second, because none of it was me. I mean, I did the work, but it was God directed, not other people directed. And I can't even describe how different that feels when my power is put in God and not in other people. Program works.
That's time.
I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle M. Congrats. Awesome. Michelle M. from Oklahoma. Okay, so Christine P., you're up, and then we're going to take some more names. Go ahead, Christine.
This is Kristen from Georgia. I am grateful to be here this morning, and I was thinking about putting it on paper. You know, when I did my first 4-step, I put pretty much anybody that I had ever come in contact with, because, of course, everybody was my problem, not me. You know, I didn't want to take responsibility for anything. And I've heard through the years that resentment keeps us blocked from God, and God is the power that keeps us abstinent and in recovery. And so I always heard these things, but I didn't understand it until one morning I was walking and I had a resentment against my landlord. And I have a beautiful yard that I walk in. I'm walking in it today, this morning, and I would just spend my whole walk, you know, my quiet time and my spiritual walk happens on my physical walk in nature with God. And we talk and I ask for advice and pray and such. And I was walking one morning and, you know, God said, you're spending your whole morning in this beautiful yard hating this woman and not spending time with me. And it just hit me so hard that, you know, what Joe and Charlie says about with the resentments, the getting up and having a cup of coffee and just loving it. And I did. I love it. I love to hate this woman. And I still struggle with it, but when it comes up, I know that I have to let it go, because my peace of mind means so much more to me. And I think that's why it's important that we find our part, because there is a reason why I resent her. And that's okay, but I don't have to let it sit in my spirit and interfere with my serenity. And for that, I'm so grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kristen P. from Georgia. Okay, friendly reminder, we are on page 65, the first paragraph, starting with our grudge list. So who else would like to share?
Terry F.
Christina J.
Terry? Terry F. Christina J.
Victor B. Victor B. Buffalo, New York.
Victor B. So I've got Terry or Carrie S. Christina J. Victor B. Who else? Make a few more.
Tony B.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Tony B.
Tony, sorry.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Going once. We're going twice. Okay. Carrie S., you're up, followed by Christina J. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Sherry S. Sherry is Sam S.
Sorry.
In Wisconsin. Yeah, no, that's okay.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, my grudge list. Ooh. When I think of my defects and I think of, you know, everyone who doesn't act the way I want them to, which is basically what my grudges are, that keeps me distant from my higher power. So, you know, every time I get in my head and the disease starts telling me this person should have done this, or they should have done this, or they did this to you, you know, that piles up and it keeps piling up and keeps piling up. And years ago, I'm in another program, I had someone who actually put me in physical danger that I had on my grudge list. And I was like, I'm never going to do that. You know, I'm never going to make an amends to that person. But I did. And what's beautiful about being able to do that, even though they hurt you, is that just gets me one step closer to my higher power and freeing me from those grudges that I keep. You know, so in my mind, step 4, 5, 6, 7, all these steps, the goal is to get me closer to my higher power. And when I'm have that good relationship with my higher power, literally everything in my life, everything else in my life is taken care of. But it's humbling to look at your grudges and your defects, but it's such a beautiful process to be able to, you know, from step 1, surrender, to step 12, giving it away. It's such a beautiful process. And the humility you get with getting rid of the grudges and writing them to paper, which there is power in that. There really is to, you know, just get it out. Don't hold it in. And it feels so much better when we do that. So thanks for letting me share again, Sherry S. in Wisconsin. Thanks.
We don't hear.
Sorry, I didn't realize. I hit my mute button. Thank you. Thank you, Sherry S. from Wisconsin. Christina J., you are up. Please go ahead.
Morning, Amy. Morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. So how would you like to wake up and feel no fear for the most part? How'd you like to wake up and not worry about, you know, if you're going to be able to fit into anything today? How would you like to be able to wake up and not be scared to go to work because your boss is an a-hole? How would you like to wake up and know that your husband cherishes and loves you, or your partner? Or how would you like to wake up and realize that everything's okay today and that you don't have to worry about tomorrow? This is what this 4-step does. It starts taking off the crust of what's at the top, and then underneath starts coming up, and we get to continue to do this process. But the 4-step is a turning point for me. Well, it was a turning point. First, I saw all the stuff, and then I had to have God take it away from me. And for me, that process took a while. My grudges held on. I saw them. I saw my part in them, but I didn't know how to let go of jealousy. I didn't know how to let go of envy, self-pity. And these things, my wise sponsor at the time said, you can't let go of them. You're powerless over those things. Just like you're powerless over the food, you're powerless over what you discovered in the 4-step. All you can do is ask God to take them away, you know, root and branch. And by God, my roots are deep. My roots are deep around some of these things. And it's taken a very long time. But I can tell you, in the last year, I have been freed of most of my bullshit. And I still got some, of course, comes up, but I have found the incredible gift of the 10 step. Incredible gift in that 10 step. Even the smallest things, and I used to laugh at this, the smallest things, what do you mean? Even the smallest things, because it clears the channel. If I don't clear the channel about even the smallest thing that bugged me today, it's going to sit in there and, fester. And then it'll come out bigger next time. So this grudge list, this laying it out on paper, wow, what an exciting process. I get to lay out everybody I hated, everybody that did me wrong, the molestation I experienced when I was young, the rejection of my father, my pissy mother, you know, my people that I hate in the industry, music industry, because they made it bigger than I did, and blah, 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 you know. And then I saw that 4th column, as we will find out. And I became humbled. And I saw all the ways that I was trying to run my life, and I hadn't given it to God. I hadn't released. So this is not a cult. This is a healing process for your soul. Your soul and everybody on this line that you're hearing, maybe not everybody, but all of us are in different processes of it. And we're easing that disease and we're lifting up and out, digging those roots out, and we're becoming the most incredible people ever, most beautiful people ever. You know, we're precious and tender and loving to our higher power. And if you can find one that'll help you and love you, he's there waiting for you. It's there. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Victor B., you're up, followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Victor.
Yeah, hey, good morning. Thank you. What a great topic and so important. You know, for a long time, I didn't list all. I wanted to look at people, but, it, you know, it talks about institutions and principles. And my sponsor, when I was doing my four-step, my resentments and stuff, he said, Victor, you're a pretty principled person. I said, oh, wow, thank you. He said, yeah, you have so many principles that you expect everybody else to live up to, but you can't even live to them yourself. I was like, wow. And I found out I had also a list of principles because, like, sometimes I'd be upset with a different group, you know, the way one OA group ran things or one chairperson ran things. And, you know, I was so upset with these people. And my sponsor pointed out that you're not upset with the people. Your resentment is with the principle of group autonomy. You're not really resentful with all those people that are at that group. You're fighting against the principle of group autonomy. Your resentment is with that, not with the people. So I had also list principles. I just want to throw that out there, you know. We forget about their principles. People should live this way. The people in OA should treat people. You know, I just find the resentments everywhere. But I just want to say this one thing, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but I can't get a lot of time. You get 3 minutes. I needed my resentments. My resentments weren't something that I wanted or anything. It's just that I had this thing that I found out in step three, a bondage of self. I was so consumed with my pain that I needed resentments because resentments gave me a counterfeit relief from the bondage of self. I didn't know how to be relieved of the bondage of self. I didn't know that God could relieve me from the bondage of self. And so I needed people to put down to elevate me out of myself. I needed them. I needed every resentment I had to keep, because if I didn't have resentments to get out of the bondage of self, I wanted to kill myself. So it was back and forth, hate myself, hate other people, hate myself, hate other people. And so I found out that the resentments were functional in that they relieved me from the bondage of self, but it's a counterfeit relief. It's a counterfeit elevation. To elevate myself. I didn't know how to get out of me. And so God makes that part. God elevates me today. And the more I see how much God elevated me in my brokenness, the less I can expect other people to measure up to principles that I can. And I don't have to put, you know, it's because I'm looking for people, place, and things that satisfy needs in me that I found that only God can meet. And I make people almost like idols, you know, wanting them to worship me, to approve of me, to appreciate me, to respect me. And those are the things that I have to ask God to remove. But yeah, anyhow, the last thing I'm going to say is resentments are a counterfeit relief from the bottom of yourself, and we don't have to do that today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Victor B. from Buffalo, New York. All right, Tony B., you're up. And we'll have time maybe for one or two. Go ahead.
Thanks very much, Amy. My name is Tony B. I'm a compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered in Scotland. And yes, it's a little paragraph, but there's a lot in here and there have been so many good shares this morning. So this really is just a beginning. And on this grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. And That's all it says about that second column. It's very, very short. We just set our injuries down, and they're definite, and they're short. And then it moves immediately on to the third column, was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sex relations which had been interfered with? That was more important, because there's only a tiny bit. We just set our injuries down. That's all it says about the cause. And then I ask myself, you know, this is what it affects in me. And we're humans, and it's okay that we're affected. It's normal that when our instincts are threatened, I'm going to feel afraid and sometimes resentful. But this process, this recovery is all about coming to realize that we just cannot afford these, you know, so we have to look at it. And particularly, you know, because I'm an addict, because I'm a compulsive overeater, I have this extremity of selfishness. And I get these feelings like I need things a particular way. I must have certain things my way. And it is overreaching. It goes beyond the way I feel, goes beyond. And, you know, it's just so wonderful to be able to do this on a regular basis. And about, as somebody else was saying, any small thing, you know. And more often than not now, it's my ambitions that are affected. I used to think, you know, it's all about self-esteem. But no, I mean, last night my husband half made me a cup of tea, poured in the boiling water, and then he left it. And I started to fume, you know, half job, half done. And, you know, I just needed to pause and say, what's going on here? Yeah, it affects my ambitions. I wanted him to complete the job and make me the cup of tea. And what came out of that? Just sip it, Tony. You don't need to say anything. Finish making it and be grateful that he had the thought to half make it. So, yeah, this is such an important process. And the beginning of it is here, but it does continue for a lifetime. And I am able to deal with any little upset that comes up in my life now. And I'm so grateful for recovery. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Tony B. from Scotland. All right, so it looks like we have time for one more share. Who would like to take us out?
Matthew G.
Matthew, you're up. Please go ahead.
Hey, this is Matthew G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Paris, France. I didn't really think I was going to share, but nobody. What a great meeting, as always. So grateful for this, for the vision for you. Guys, saving my life every day. I love step four. That sounds crazy, but, you know, I have to remember that, you know, these are God-given instincts, self-esteem. God gave us self-esteem, right? It's just that what happens is, what's happened to me, at least, is that my instincts have gone out of whack, out of proper proportion. They exceed their proper function, right? I mean, God gave us self-esteem for a reason. God gave me, you know, the financial and emotional security for a reason, right? Ambition for a reason. Personal and sex relations. These are just instincts. But the problem is that they're out of whack. And I just love the way step four is set up, that we, you know, when we have a grudge, it's easier for us to see, you know, why, right? And what instincts were affected, right? And then we stop and pray for the other person. And then we get to the real juice of the matter, where we can really see the exact nature of our wrongs. We're being selfish, dishonest, resentful, and afraid. So I'm just very grateful for all the steps. And for me, you know, I think it's really important for me to keep in mind that, you know, we aren't bad people. You know, we're spiritually sick people becoming well, thanks to the good orderly direction of these steps that Alcoholics Anonymous has given us. Let's see. I don't know how much time I have left. I'm just really grateful for this. I got another minute. Oh wow! What can I say? We're all another minute. That
well,
I'm just
you don't
really
have
so,
to,
so,
but...
so so so. I'm just very grateful for this meeting. I just love you all so so much, and I just can't believe that the merciless obsession has been removed from me, from compulsive overeating, and it's just a miracle. And God bless you all. All right, ciao. Bye. Shut up now. Fast.
Thanks so much, Matthew G. from Paris, France. I'd like to thank everyone who has shared. What a wonderful meeting. Please join us for a second continuation unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Monday, December 16th, is 2024. Oh, sorry. Monday, December 16th, 2024, the 7 a.m. ID number is 21,997. That's 21977. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Elizabeth D. please read a vision for you?
Thank you. Thank you for your service. I'm Elizabeth D., compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Recovered. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.